10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Okay, folks, welcome to part two of News from the Wall 18, already in progress.
They also said that they have statistics and numbers that show that if this event happens, as they're predicting it may happen, the death toll in the Caribbean, in all the countries and the islands of the Caribbean and the eastern seaboard and the Gulf, it could be upwards of 46 million people dead.
Augusto, that gives me pause. I mean, those are incredible numbers.
They are. They are. And I cannot share everything, but I have a friend that he has sources, okay, within the government. So according to those numbers, this event is going to be pretty massive. And for people that are listening tonight, this is not really that far-fetched, people. If you begin to think about all the asteroids that are being spotted, how many of those asteroids and meteors have come real close to our planet? So this is very possible. This is not that far-fetched. So before you start saying, oh, brother, I don't believe that, think about what I shared about the meteors. Think about what I shared about the asteroids. It is very possible. And what I have been shown is that this thing is imminent. Now, to continue what I was sharing was, this brother sent me some information in an email that I corresponded with him. FEMA is asking the people in Puerto Rico to store canned foods, to store water, to store medicine. And they're saying, in case of an earthquake. Now, this is what they're telling the people. In case of an earthquake that comes every 100 or every couple hundred years or whatever, in case of that, you may have some food. Of course, this is ridiculous. Why would they be doing that now? Not just there, here. They know something that they're not saying. And so the reason is that they know that FEMA and as well as NASA are concerned about this event. And they have been under absolute gag order not to say anything for reasons we understand. I mean, of course, this thing would cause chaos. Of course, people would be terrified if these things were said. So I understand that they have to hush and keep quiet so as not to cause fear. But, you know, it is highly irresponsible not to even, say things and tell the people something so that they can prepare, at least in Puerto Rico. You know, they're doing this here in America. I haven't heard them say, do this and store food and store that. I haven't. I mean, I don't know if you've heard it, Nathan, but I haven't. And, you know, that is highly irresponsible because if this thing hits, it's going to be devastating. And, you know, the information that this brother sent me is basically talking about Puerto Rico as being ground zero. The governor of Puerto Rico and the president of Puerto Rico were given a report about this event that is supposed to happen in that region that I mentioned before in the Caribbean. And what the president of Puerto Rico determined was that nothing could be divulged to the residents or the inhabitants of the nation of Puerto Rico. They had to keep it quiet. And they're talking about reports and the hangars there in Puerto Rico and the harbors. There are about 2.5 million body bags that have been seen, that have been spotted, that have been photographed. Helicopters, military troops, and other preparations. They have a map where it shows where the areas where the water is going to reach when this happens. These are things that are going on even as we speak. This is real-time stuff that is happening. This is not a dream or a vision, okay? This is real. This is happening. So I share all that to share this. The Lord began to put an urgency in my spirit. When I was fasting and praying, and this was before I found out about these things, I was walking down the street here where I live, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, warn my people. Now, my first reaction to that was, Lord, what do you mean warn my people? I have been trying to warn your people for a long time. I am warning your people. What do you mean warn your people? And then again he said, warn my people. And he began to lay on my heart to go on any and all radio stations and talk programs, block talk radio programs, anywhere I could to share this alarm with the people, ring the bell, sound the trumpet, tell the people to prepare, especially spiritually, because there's going to be people that are going to die. They cannot be stopped. And so to warn them, to prepare them, and then first spiritually and then physically, so that they, if they're close to the shores, if they're close to the ocean, to get out of harm's way now, because they won't have enough time when this thing hits. This thing, the waves travel fast. I mean, very fast. Another thing is, the Lord also told me to get on a radio station, Nathan, that I did not even know existed. He gave me the letters of the station, and I looked at the stations here in my area. It's not from here. So I said, where is this station? I asked my wife. I asked other people. They didn't know. So I went into the Internet, which is where I go when I don't know where to look anymore. And sure enough, I found a station with the same letters the Lord gave me in Miami, Florida. And I said, oh, my God, why do you want me to warn the people in Miami? Lord, what's going on here? So this is what I was dealing with, Nathan. And this is why I knew that this was from God when I found out. Now, as the days continued and I kept praying about this thing, I began to get the feeling that there was so much more. I also found out that according to this man, the scientists from NASA that were there on the island told him that when this asteroid impacts in that region, it could be so powerful that it could stop the rotation of the Earth momentarily. It could literally stop the Earth's rotation. And I know this sounds kind of far out, but it's not really that far out. If we think back, remember the earthquake in Chile. Do you remember the devastation that earthquake caused? That it moved the island and it moved the shores on the country of Chile several feet. And it shortened the day by fractions of a second. And so that is how powerful that earthquake is. And that was what, like a 9-something? This one, according to this man, he spoke to the scientists from NASA that were there. He said that they told him that this is going to produce this impact, this meteor impact, is going to produce an earthquake in the area of 12.0 Richter. Something of that magnitude, it could easily stop the rotation of the Earth.
Augusto, those numbers are incredible. I mean, what kind of power are we talking? A 12-pointer? That would...
We know it happened a long time ago, and this is the reason why we have the Grand Canyon, we know one hit in the Gulf of Mexico, which, by the way, is what fractured the continent in half, okay? The New Madrid fault line, all that region there, it was fractured when that asteroid hit the Gulf of Mexico. It goes all the way from the Gulf of Mexico all the way up to the Great Lakes.
Okay, now, Augusto, just for a moment, my head is trying to, because I'm pretty sure the listeners are hearing this, and they're looking at each other, and they're going, really? What? For the scientist types out there, they're doing quick calculations. For those that understand the other areas that are volatile or fragile, for example, you brought up the New Madrid. What is going to be the after effect, the concussion, the result, if this kind of shockwave were to hit the Caribbean, is it going to unzip the other fracture zones around the world, the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, the New Madrid, the Tennessee, the San Andreas? We could actually be seeing some residual effects in other fault zones across the planet.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you may be right. And that is something that no one knows. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physicist or anything like that. But it's very logical. It's very probable that it could trigger other fault lines. And it could trigger, for example, the California fault line, the San Andreas fault line, and many of the others. And in other parts of the world, in other countries as well.
I am reminded, Augusto, that in 1811, when the New Madrid did its thing way back then in the area of Missouri, there wasn't a lot of modern architecture, so the effects were minimal at the time, although they were historical. The Mississippi ran backwards. But during that time, It was 1811, 1812. There was a comet that was in the sky for a year and a half during that time, and they called it Napoleon's Comet. And if that comet had some sort of gravitational pull to cause the New Madrid to flex and then give, then now let's talk about that, Augusto. I don't know what information you have, but I have been wondering a lot about this. Comet Icen, as well as some of the other ones. And we're going to be hearing about Icen in the next few weeks, coming months. Icen, I believe, is now slingshotting around the sun, or it's doing it very soon, or it just happened. So then it's going to be coming back toward us. And what are the residual effects going to be with Icen? Does Icen have an entourage also? Is there a dust cloud? And, you know, I have so many questions because you mentioned a few moments ago about the record number of meteor sightings are happening right now. So what is the reason for that? Is that part of the dust cloud from Icen or some other undiscovered one? So what do you think? Have you thought about this on the role that Icen is playing, or maybe some other comet that is undiscovered or is not on the headlines at the moment?
Yes, I have, Nathan. What I can say about this, okay, is this. The main culprit in all of this, okay, if we have to point a finger to it, why this is happening, we have to go deeper and we have to go further back. And we cannot, like Icen and Elenin and all of these asteroids that we are seeing and all these earthquakes that we are seeing, they're just manifestations of something else that is triggering that. It's not Comet Icen by itself. Comet Icen is not the main culprit, as was not Elenin. Whenever this object, this black sun, this dwarf star, Nibiru, Planet X, whenever this object makes its way towards our solar system, and it takes 3,600 years or so, plus or minus, whenever it begins to get close to our solar system, okay, it begins to launch or hurl comets from the Oort cloud system into our inner solar system. As these comets begin to be hurled by this object, when this object begins to hurl these comets begin to head towards Earth. And all these comets that we have been seeing in recent years, remember that it's not just Elenin and Icen, and now there's one that's going to come next year. I mean, they're discovering these things almost all the time now. Many of them have never made it. They're called sun divers, and they dove right into the sun and disintegrated, okay? Where are all these comets coming from, and why are they coming now? And the reason is, as I was sharing, is there is an object that is hurling them. This object is so massive, and it's got such a strong gravitational pull that as it goes through space, it captures and drags many of these comets and pushes, or some of them are pushed ahead of its gravitational field. These comets are being hurled, thrown, if you will, towards our sun. As they begin to get closer, our sun gets a hold of them and begins to drag them. Then they go through what is known as the asteroid belt, the astronomical name that is given, the asteroid belt.
Between Earth and Mars.
Yeah, between, exactly. And when they go through the asteroid belt, then those comets begin to grab a hold of many of these asteroid debris, meteors, and begin to drag them and push them ahead of them as well. Now, this is the phenomenon that we have been seeing in the last few years. We saw some of it with Elenin. Elenin had a dirty tail. He was dragging a lot of these things. That is why I was concerned back then, but nothing happened. Praise God. This one, Icen, is much bigger. It's much bigger, and its tail is much longer. So it's got more junk in it. It's dragging a lot of junk, and it's pushing a lot of junk, okay? This is why we're seeing all of these asteroids bombarding the Earth. This is why we're seeing all these sightings all over, and we talked about that before. That is why the possibility of this event that I'm talking about happening is all real. This is not far-fetched. This is not out there in left field. This is very real. This is very probable. And this is the reason why I'm telling you. And the closer this object comes, Nathan, the more comets we're going to see and the more asteroids we're going to get bombarded with until eventually the Earth is just going to be overwhelmed, if you will. The magnetic field is getting weaker. It's getting weaker because also the sun is reacting to this incoming object. The solar flares are getting bigger. the CMEs are getting larger, and all this radiation from the sun is also bombarding our magnetosphere, and it is weakening our magnetosphere. This object also is pulling our magnetic north pole. It's shifting it. This is why the Earth, the magnetic north pole of the Earth, is shifting. That is why the airports are having to correct their airports markings continually, because the magnetic field is moving the magnetic north pole. It's going towards Siberia. Now, these things are real. It's happening. It's fact. It's just fact. It's not hearsay. It's not a dream. It's not a vision, okay? This is real. It's happening. It's real-time data, scientific data that cannot be disputed. No matter what the news stations are telling, no matter what they're saying, they're not saying much. They're saying this is normal. They're going to continue to say this is normal. They're going to continue to say this happens all the time. They're going to talk about La Niña, El Niño, the cousin, the grandfather, and the mother, and all these things are natural. It's normal. Well, it's not normal. We are seeing stuff that's not normal, and it is being caused by the approach of this object. Now, I'm not here tonight to tell you when this object is going to be here, okay? That's not the point of this program. So I'm not even going to touch that. All I'm saying is, it's getting closer. The closer it gets, okay, and I'm not even going to attempt to give any dates or anything about that, because that's irrelevant. That is really, it doesn't even matter, okay? At this point, it doesn't matter. What matters is that as this object gets closer to the Earth and to our inner solar system, we're going to see an increase in intensity and an increase in numbers of asteroids, meteors, and comets. And one of them is going to hit us, or several of them are going to hit us. This is exactly what the Book of Revelation depicts. When you begin to read about the trumpet judgments, this is exactly what they're talking about, a mountain burning with fire. That is an asteroid. A star falling from heaven to the earth and the rivers and the sea, that's asteroids. In the opening of the sixth seal, it talks about the stars falling to the earth like ripened figs. Again, stars don't fall. John was seeing asteroids and comets and meteors. That is what he was watching. As a matter of fact, when he describes that scripture, it was very perplexing to me for many years, and I did not understand it, which was the Book of Revelation, chapter 6. And I'm going to read that real briefly, because there is something that the Lord has shown me here in the last several weeks that is fascinating, Nathan, and it's tied into what I'm sharing, okay? Mm-hmm. In Revelation chapter 6, in verse 12, he says, "And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." And in verse 13 says, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind." 14, "And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Now, that part there that says, "And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together," I never understood what that meant. What does it mean when it says that the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together? Well, someone sent me an article that was written by this sister called Wendy Whipple, and I read it. It was very, very interesting. But the most interesting thing in the whole article has to do with a Russian that was alive during that famous asteroid drive-by in Russian history, remember, in Tunguska?
Right.
Okay, that devastated that whole region. Now, nobody ever knew that there was someone that witnessed this, but obviously there was. And the name of this man that saw this was N.V. Vasilyev. And this is what he says. I want to read it. It's very short. He says, "At breakfast time, I was sitting by the house at Vanavada Trading Post, 65 kilometers, 40 miles south of the explosion, facing north. I suddenly saw that directly to the north of our uncle's Tunguska Road, the sky split in two." Now listen to that. The sky split in two. This is what John saw. The heavens departed like a scroll. In other words, it was split and they departed and they rolled together. And listen to what he said. He said, "The sky is split in two, And then he said the split in the sky grew larger. Well, isn't that the same thing as what John saw? He says it's like a scroll when it is rolled together. The split becomes larger. And then John saw every mountain and island were moved out of the places, because this is the great earthquake, Nathan, that we always heard about and we preached about, but we never knew what caused it.
Hmm.
What caused that massive earthquake, Nathan, and listener out there that you're listening to me, was an asteroid hit, a meteor impact on the earth or in the heavens as it crossed the atmosphere and it hit the ocean or the earth. This is what caused that gigantic earthquake that I already talked about. Scientists are speculating it could produce a 12.0 Richter scale earthquake.
Well, Gusto, I want to contribute something that actually confirms what you're saying. In the previous verse, 13, the stars of heaven fell. I have my computer Bible right here. I'm looking at it. The word and the stars of heaven, the word stars comes from the Greek word aster or asteroid. So it's actually talking about asteroids of heaven falling.
Exactly. And this man said that, you know, he heard a strong thump and he was thrown back several meters and he heard a loud noise. And then he heard rocks falling like cannons were firing. The earth shook. There was an earthquake. He said, I pressed my head down, fearing the rocks would smash it. Now, this asteroid that came over Tunguska in Russia, this was detonated 5 miles up. In other words, it never hit the ground. It never hit the ground. It detonated as it hit the atmosphere, 5 miles up. But can you imagine what would happen if it did hit the land or the ocean? So this is how this thing is going to start, people. This thing is going to start by an asteroid getting through our atmosphere. The Lord is going to withdraw his protection. Somehow it's going to happen, and it's going to hit. We're going to have an asteroid impact. And this is actually in Revelation 6, this is what launches the tribulation. This is actually the beginning of the tribulation, or the great tribulation, or the day of the Lord. Because if you read there to the end, in verse 16 and 17, it says that the man said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? So here he is saying that this indicates the beginning. So that is the great tribulation that we have heard about so many times. And after that, of course, it gets worse. We hear then come all the trumpet judgments and then the results of that, which is the vials. So here's where we are at. And I don't know how much more time we have, Nathan, but I'm about to wrap it up. As this was going on, this is when I began to, I was still fasting, and I went to visit my mother-in-law. She's very sickly, and she's convalescing. She's not doing well, and she has an oxygen tank, and, you know, I went to visit her to pray for her, and also my father-in-law, who is ill. And as I was there, I felt this urge to call this brother, who is my wife's cousin, who lives in near Miami, Florida. I think he lives in Hollywood. And this brother, he's like the Spanish Arthur Blessed. He took this cross across the world, you know, to several countries, and preaching the gospel, you know, praying for the lost and so forth. He did this for a while, for several years. And he's a very quiet guy. He doesn't have a ministry. He doesn't, you know, he's not a preacher or pastor. I don't think he's ever done a radio show. And he doesn't share what the Lord gives him with anyone, because his whole family is just religious, you know. They're Catholic and they're religious. They're not where they ought to be. So he has to keep many of these things to himself. He cannot share the visions and dreams that the Lord gives him. And the Lord has given him many that he shared with me, and I have shared some of mine with him. So I felt the need to call him, and I did. So when I called him, I told him, I said, I need to share something with you, something really important and real serious. And so I did. I shared with him a short version of what I share with you tonight. And he listened to me, and when I finished, he said, wow, now that you've shared that with me, I'm going to share with you what the Lord gave me 2 weeks ago. And I said, sure, go ahead. And he began to share with me a vision that the Lord had given him, a powerful experience. He said that he was taken into outer space, and he was like floating there in outer space, and he was very, very large. He said his body was huge. And he was watching the sun, he said, and the sun was acting so strange. He said that there was massive solar flares taking place, and something was, and this is what he said to me, something was wrong with the sun. The sun, it was acting so fierce. The solar flares were just huge. And he said, and I looked at the sun, and there was another large object in front of the sun. He said, I don't know what it was, but there was another object there. And he said that he saw the Earth go by, our planet. It was orbiting the sun and on its normal rotation. And then he said that that he kept watching the sun. He says the solar flares continued to grow in size. And then he watched the Earth again the second time it was coming around the sun. But this time, he said, the Earth was wobbling. The Earth was wobbling. It was staggering. And he said that he noticed like the Earth had been hit by an object from the opposite side. That hit, that impact, had caused the Earth to stagger and wobble. It was wobbling. And as it began to wobble, he said that it lost its way. And the Earth began to drift closer to the sun because it lost its orbit. Because when it was shaking, it started to wobble and it began to be drawn by the sun. And he said that he just didn't want it to see that. His reaction was he reached to the Earth, grabbed the Earth, and started to pull it back to its orbit, away from the sun. And he said that this lasted for a few moments. He was just wrestling with the Earth, trying to wrestle it away from where it was heading. It was heading right into the sun, and it would have been wiped out if it got close to the sun. And so he just grabbed it, and he began to drag it back away from the sun, and eventually, he said, he managed to drag it away and until the Earth recovered its spin, and it began its orbit, its normal orbit once again. And then he said that the Earth was okay, was out of danger. And then he said he woke up, and he told me, he said, Augusto, I was stunned. I was in shock for several days. I kept seeing these events being replayed in my mind, even during the daytime. He said, I haven't shared this with anybody. And he said, because I didn't, you know, it's unbelievable. He said, no one would believe. But when you shared what you told me, I knew that I had to share this with you because they're tied together. And this is a confirmation of what I shared with you before about the asteroid impact, that the scientists are very concerned about it, because if an asteroid impacts the Earth in that region, it could literally, according to the NASA scientists, it could stop the rotation of the Earth. And this is what this brother saw. That's exactly what he saw. The rotation of the Earth stopped, and the Earth was shaken. The Earth is starting to wobble. And isn't that what Isaiah talks about? I think it's Isaiah 24.
Stagger like a drunken man.
Exactly. And so, you know, these things are predicted in the scriptures. This is not the imagination of a madman. This is not Augusto Perez gone crazy, you know. I'm not trying to spread fear. I don't want people to be afraid. I don't want people to be terrified. I'm just trying to warn you. We are very close to some of these things happening. When will they happen? I don't know. All I'm telling you to do is you need to get right with the Lord. If you're not right with God, if you're not saved, and if you're walking in sin, you haven't repented of your sin, you're playing with fire right now. And the whole purpose of doing this program on Watchman's Cry tonight with Nathan Leal is to warn the people so that you can get saved, so that you can be healed and you can be restored. You know, the time is now. And also, if you can, to please prepare in the natural, because when these things happen, you can well imagine what the consequences are going to be around this nation and other parts of the world. It's going to be chaos.
Augusto, let's just visit this for a moment. Let's briefly say what if. What if this warning is accurate, and if this asteroid does hit the Caribbean and it's a 12-point massive earthquake, are we possibly saying that this is Revelation getting started? It's possibly about to happen if this is an event to this magnitude? Is that what we're visiting? We're that late in the hour?
I believe we are. I really do. I believe we are that late in the hour, and that is why I shared those other experiences I shared before regarding, you know, the dates I gave. Because why would the Lord give me those things unless there's a very powerful reason behind it? Again, I'm not saying this is the end of the world, okay? This is not the end of the world, but it's going to be the end of times as we know it. Because what would happen if, let's say, the Earth, you know, is struck by an asteroid, just like I've shared in the visions and the people and what the scientists are discussing. Okay, let's say that that does happen and that the rotation of the Earth is stopped. And then when it resumes the rotation, it's going faster or slower. I don't know. Would not that change the times? Would not that change everything? Our time is based on the rotation of the Earth. Everything about our time, our watches, are based on the rotation of the Earth. If the rotation of the Earth is messed with or it's changed, that would be the end of times. And so this is what I'm trying to say, okay? I believe with all of my heart we are very close to the end of time. And this is what I've been warned repeatedly. The end of times as we know it is at hand. But some people don't want to hear this. I know that. Even some preachers and teachers don't want to hear it. Even some so-called watchmen don't want to hear it and don't want to allow this kind of message to be shared from their platform. And I respect that. That's fine, you know. Everyone has a right to decide what they want to do. But we all going to have to give an account to the Lord one day. We all have to do that. And I want to have my hands clean. So I have shared what the Lord has given me to share. And I have warned as hard as I can warn. Believe me, I'm not doing this for any other reason. There are no hidden agendas here. There's nothing I'm selling. There's nothing I'm trying you to buy, to get from me. I have no agenda. The only reason is to warn you, to help you, to make it right, to get saved, and to be ready for the Lord.
Well, Augusto, I want to share a few of the glimpses that the Holy Spirit has given me, and I want to share one that I have not shared with the world at all, and I want to get your thoughts on it. They have to do with two different categories. The first one has to do with tsunami dreams. As I stated in my previous session, I went into a lot of the prophetic glimpses that God has given me, and they were a compilation of several categories, but one of them is the category of tsunamis. And as you stated yourself, God gives you some visions at times, and you just hold on to them. Well, that's how I've been treating the tsunami dreams, because over the past 4 or 5 years, I can remember 5 of them. I believe I've had even more, but the 5 that I can remember are the ones that I brought forth. So the 5 that I had, one of them, I was in Galveston, Texas, and I was on the seawall, and 3 different waves came in. The first wave brought the water about 1 to 2 feet deep. The next one brought it about 6 feet deep, and then the third one, it was 20 feet deep, and then I escaped. But that's how deep that was in Galveston. And then I had another one where I was in New York City driving in Manhattan. And in that prophetic dream, I was looking for the Sports Authority sporting goods store. I don't even shop there, but I knew that the tsunami was coming, and I knew that I had to get to that store to get my supplies. Well, while I was looking for it, the water came, the tsunami arrived, and it was 2 feet deep, and the dream was over. And as I pondered that one, what that told me was, it was too late to try to get supplies. I was at the last minutes of the last hour. It was too late. It's too late to plan when people procrastinate and put off, and that's the situation that I was in that particular dream. So what the Holy Spirit was trying to say was, for those people that wait too long, preparing spiritually and physically, the water's going to get to you, and what are you going to do? You won't have your life jacket. So those were the 2 I had, one in Galveston, one in New York, and then I had another one where I was on a seawall. It was similar to the Galveston tsunami vision. The water came in 3 different phases, and then it ended up being about 20 feet deep. And then I had 2 of them where I was in a condo, and in these 2, they were almost exactly the same, and the most recent one was just a few weeks ago. But in that one, I was in a 2-story condo on a beach, and the condo was about maybe 100 yards from the water, from the shoreline, and the shoreline never got probably closer than 75 yards away. Well, I'm sitting on the kitchen table eating, and there's a sliding door that you can look through to see the beach, and I look over through the sliding door, and I see a wave coming, and before I had a chance to blink, the wave was 2 feet deep, and it hit the sliding door, but it didn't leak. And then I saw behind that wave, seconds away, was another one. And within a few seconds, it hit the sliding door, and now the water was almost to the top of the sliding door, and it was like I was looking in a fish tank. And then I was panicking because I could see over the top, just barely, the water past that, and I saw the big one rising up, and it was huge. It was 50. It was big, and it was swelling, getting taller and taller, coming toward me, and I knew that I was in trouble, so I'm panicking in this dream. I'm trembling, and I knew that I just wanted to run up to the second story. So I was just halfway up the stairs when it hit. And then I knew that there was 50 feet of water over the condo. I was actually trembling. I was terrified. I felt terror. And you know what I'm talking about, Augusta, when you feel some of those powerful prophetic dreams that you can feel the emotion. Yeah, I mean, you're shaking. So I was shaking, and I knew that I couldn't get out of there. And the minute I opened any window or door, the water was going to come in, and I was going to die. And the dream was over, and I woke up shaking. So I had that dream twice. So I've been seeking God, wondering, what does that mean, God? And for a while, I was wondering, do these tsunami dreams, are they symbolic? Are they imagery of the judgment, meaning the waves of judgment are coming and you better hurry? Well, since I've been visiting this whole topic over the last few days, I've been reevaluating this. And I'm wondering, was the Holy Spirit saying, Nathan, you knucklehead, I'm trying to show you what's coming and you're not seeing it. And yeah, that's the handicap we have, ladies and gentlemen. We don't always know everything. So I'm confessing that. But Augusto, I'm wondering, as I'm looking at a map of the United States, I'm wondering if what I saw was this event that's about to happen. I'm not saying it is. I'm wondering. And if it's true, then does that mean that from Texas to New York City, the Gulf of Mexico, the eastern seaboard is going to experience and feel this tidal wave? And of course, by the time it gets to Texas, it's not going to be 1,000 feet high. But when I was in that condominium, it was at least 50 feet. And if that was a true account, I was dead in that one. So I'm wondering, was that condo somewhere along the Gulf Coast? Was it in Georgia or one of the Carolinas, Florida? I don't know. But anyway, that's why when you told me, or when I heard you on Larry Taylor, I started thinking about all of this. And then I called you and I've been thinking about it. I don't know, Augusto, but I'm not the only one that's been having tsunami dreams. As you stated, you have, but this is a phenomenon. The Holy Spirit's trying to wake a lot of people and show them this same glimpse. And as I've been also researching some of the events in Puerto Rico, apparently a lot of the Puerto Ricans are having tsunami dreams. So this is how God does it.
The thing is this, Nathan, and you know this as well as I do, that 90%, and I think that's the estimate, okay? If it's not 90, it's pretty close to 90% of the populations of the world live close to the shores, or close to the sea. I live in Florida, okay, and I cannot speak for most of the other states, but in Florida, if you go all the way from the tip of Key West all the way and you start driving up through I-95, you're going to encounter one city after another. And when you enter Miami, it's Miami, Dade County, Broward County, and Palm Beach County. That's like one huge metroplex. One city right next to the other, next to the other. And it keeps going all the way to Jacksonville, okay? It's nonstop. The whole east coast of Florida is saturated with cities, loaded with people, and some of them big. Just in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County, you got, I don't know, I guess you got around 3 to 5 million people there. Easy. Just in that small stretch. If you go all through that coast of Texas and the Louisiana and on and on, I mean, that whole coast is saturated with people, and cities are built right there on the edge of the water. So any kind of wave, okay, even if it's not 1,000 feet, by the time it gets there, it may be, like you said, maybe 50 feet, maybe 80 feet. The water is going to, that kind of wave action is going to devastate all those cities built on that, on the edge of the ocean there. I have seen many, many dreams, visions, and I have seen the whole east coast of the United States from Maine to Key West and Miami. And I saw the water came in and covered anywhere, I think it was around 25 miles, okay? I saw it, plus or minus. I saw 25 miles inland. The water came in about 25 miles. And that would be pretty much what this would do, you know, if it gets to the east, to the eastern coast of the U.S., especially Florida. So, yeah, that's what you saw. And again, I'm just trying to warn the people. I don't know when this will happen. I'm not saying, prognosticating, prophesying. All I'm saying is the Lord is warning his people this thing is going to happen. It's going to be soon. And that is basically the whole purpose of this program tonight.
Amen. Well, okay, and Augusto, I want to finish with my final dream that I have not announced to the world yet. I haven't shared it, but I'm going to share it right now. This happened a few months ago, and it really shook me, and it really made me do a lot of thinking and a lot of soul searching. And, you know, these visions from God, they impact you and they humble you. Well, in this particular dream, I was in a shuttle. You know, when you park your car at an airport, you get in a shuttle to go to the terminal. I was in one of those shuttles to leave on an airplane flight. And I was sitting next to my wife, and my son and my daughter were next to my wife. And we're sitting there in this shuttle, and across from me were four airplane pilots. But one of them didn't have the same outfit, but three of them had the same outfit. They worked for the same airline, and their outfit was white, and they had this name badge, and it said the name of their airline. And now this is interesting. It said Cruise Airlines, and I have never heard of that. It was red background with black letters, Cruise. And so I'm sitting on the bench of this shuttle, and I look over at my wife, and I said, so what time does the plane leave? She said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, do you think we're going to be late? And so I looked at the pilots that were across from me and I said, excuse me, sir, are we going to be late for our flight? I asked the three pilots. And one of the pilots looked at me and he said, well, that depends. What time is it? He asked me that question. So I looked at my watch and I said, it's 12:03. And he said, well, what time does your flight leave? So I asked my wife, do you have your boarding pass? And she got into her purse and she pulled out a boarding pass. And the boarding pass said that our flight left at 12:55. So I told the pilot, we leave at 12:55. And he said, well, you should make it. And then my little 7-year-old daughter started saying that she was hungry. And I told her, no, you just have to wait because we're going to take our flight. And the pilot that was sitting across from us, he said, no, you need to feed your daughter right now. And I said, but do I have enough time? And he says, you have enough time. And then he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a handful of quarters. And there were so many quarters in his hands that they were falling out and some were falling on the ground. And he reached over toward me. He just dumped a handful of, there was probably a few hundred quarters. And he said, buy your daughter something to eat. So suddenly, this is the weird part. You know, when you park your car at an airport, you go straight to the terminal. There's not a lot of stores between the two places. Well, there was a restaurant right there by the shuttle. So he says, pull over, shuttle. He needs to feed his daughter. So the shuttle stopped and he goes, go get her some food. So I went into this restaurant and when I walked in, it was like an old fashioned diner where you can see the guy cooking. And I saw a gentleman cooking on the grill and he had the spatula and he was flipping food over and he was cooking pork and beans on the grill and they were frying. And he reached his spatula under the pile of pork and beans, and he dumped them on a hamburger bun, and then he put the top bun on, and he says, order up. And I saw him cooking pork and bean burgers, and I thought to myself, ew, gross. That's not even real food there. There's no nutrition there. So I asked the lady, the waitress, I said, do you have anything else to eat? And she goes, well, it depends. What are you paying with? And I said, well, I have these quarters. And so I took these quarters out and I handed them to show her and she looked down at them and she said, those quarters are not good here. We don't accept that. So I was thinking, well then why did the pilot give me money that doesn't work? So then the dream was over. So after I woke up, I thought about it. I got on the internet and I looked up Cruise Airlines, which does not exist. I asked my wife about it and then I started to pray about it and then it started making sense, Augusto. Okay. I was sitting across from three gentlemen dressed in white. They were pilots. And the first question that he asked was, what time is it?
Mm.
I mean, that's profound right there.
Do you know what the name Cruz means?
To leave?
In Spanish, it means cross.
Does it really?
Yeah. The cross airlines.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, thanks. That helps me out there. And I believe those gentlemen represented the, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Oh, they were angels.
Or they were angels. Right. So when he said, look at your watch, it was 12:03. Now, when I was on Hageman & Hageman a few weeks ago, I shared just that portion because, you know, Augusto, a lot of times we play with that statement, hey, do you know what time it is? It's 11:55, 11:59. And we tell ourselves that the minute it strikes midnight, then that's it. Well, in this vision that God gave me, in this glimpse, Augusto, it's not in the 11s. We're in overtime right now.
You got that right.
So it's 3 minutes after 12, and so I started trying to figure it out with math. I was wondering, well, God, is there some secret code there? Because you said the flight leaves at 12:55. That means we're 3 minutes in, so we're 52 increments or units of something before the flight leaves. And I was wondering, was that a hint there? Does that represent weeks, months? I don't know. But this dream happened about maybe 2 months ago. So
2 months ago? And he told you it's 3 minutes after midnight?
Yes.
Wow. That is very insightful.
Right?
Yep.
So then the other thing was he gave me money to go buy food for my daughter. So what I saw from that was we need spiritual food. We need to go get our oil. Our oil lamps need to be full. And it wasn't earthly food. That's why the restaurant was, you know, pork and beans, really. So God provides us the ability to go get our nourishment right now. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the message that Augusto and I are talking about right now. Repentance is just step one, but above that, we need to get our water pots totally full, just like the wedding at Cana. Fill those water pots, and then I'll make it into new wine. To the brim, we need to be overflowing, Brother Augusto, with the water of God and the nourishment of His Word, and we need to be full of Him. So right now is the time to be working on all of these things.
And it's interesting, you know, I'm going to help you also to interpret some of that dream that you had. I believe that when they told you those coins don't work here, you know, that is very insightful because we cannot buy this thing with money or with anything from this earth. The only way we can buy this oil, and that's why the parable of the 10 virgins, you know, the 5 foolish ones told the wise ones, give us some of your oil. No, we cannot give you because if we give you some of ours, we'll have none for ourselves. Go buy from them that sell. You know, which is, it means go, you gotta go get it from God himself. You gotta go get it from the throne of God. And so, in another scripture, it talks about, let him that is thirsty, let him that is hungry come and buy meat and drink. Not with money, it says, not with money, but come and buy. It's free and you can come and buy it, but you cannot buy it with money. So I think that's what you saw, that these things that we need, we cannot get it with, you know, with money and silver from things of this earth. It's different. They don't work. That doesn't work in the kingdom of heaven. And so, yeah, I mean, that was a message from the Lord right there.
Brother, the hour's late. I mean, right, if we're in overtime, then we can't be messing around with this thing.
No. And I feel sorry for the people that think this is just another story and another program, you know, trying to entertain people, because this is not at all what this is. And I, you know, I feel sorry for those preachers and other men of God out there that, you know, they're good people, but they don't want to hear it. This, you know, they want nothing to do with this. There's going to be a day of reckoning, and this thing has to get out. This thing has to be told to the people so that they can prepare. And so I'm just doing whatever I can, and I appreciate you for inviting me, Nathan, and allowing me to be able to do the show and using your platform to do it, okay?
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming to share, Augusto, and may God be with you as you share this with more people everywhere. So thanks for coming on the program, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, by the way, Augusto, share your website with the listeners.
Sure. It's theappearance@.com, just like that. The appearance, appearance.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Augusto Perez, our brother. Now, in summary, for the record, folks, Augusto did not say this was a thus saith the Lord. This was a warning, but aside from the event that potentially could happen in Puerto Rico, we're very near to the events of Revelation, to the tribulation period, so we need to all be getting our houses in order. So we want to thank you for listening to this program and all of this information. Again, folks, please share it. And as a quick reminder, in our next News from the Wall program, we're going to resume the study that we are doing on America, the Babylon. Because, folks, America's changing. She's changing in a big way, and part of those changes are going to involve the safety of all citizens of America. Based on what I am hearing from the Holy Spirit and the warnings that he's given me, I believe that as America trespasses into her new identity, God is going to pull back his hedge of protection. Because, folks, that's what happens in judgment. During judgment, God pulls his hedge and his hand of protection from the nation or the kingdom that he's judging. And that's what's happening right now in America. So as America walks into her new identity, the land of America is going to become ripe for a terrorist attack. I'm very concerned that it could be caused by either insiders or rogue elements. And aside from them, I can also see that based on what I have uncovered in the scriptures, I've been doing a very in-depth study about this whole matter. And based on what I have been able to uncover in the scriptures, I have a very strong suspicion that the coming terrorist attack is going to involve radical jihadists that hate America. In the next program, we're going to talk about this. I believe that I have discovered passages in the scriptures that reveal this for America. So you won't want to miss our next program. If you do not subscribe to notifications when one of our new programs comes out, you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com and subscribe to notifications. And when the next audio comes out, I will send you the notifications so that you can listen to it and be informed of its content. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please remember us with your prayers and with your support, because we're trying to get situated here at Watchman's Cry before the curtain falls. So I want to thank you for listening. God bless you and stay safe. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.